Hello and welcome to another edition of the How to Grow Your E-commerce Business podcast. I'm here with Will Cooper from RevUp, and we're going to talk about Amazon reimbursements, the ins and outs of them, what they are, etc. So Will, first off, could you tell us exactly what is an Amazon reimbursement?
Yeah, sure. So I'll kind of even back up, kind of explaining a little bit of the Amazon ecosystem and for different types of sellers on there, and then dig into what reimbursements are. So as probably many of you know, there's probably three primary ways to sell on Amazon. You can be FBM, which is fulfilled by merchant, which would be you list your products on Amazon, but they're actually not shipping it out. So let's say Trevor and I are selling wine glasses on Amazon. Someone places an order. Trevor and I are going into our garage and sending that package out. So that's FBM. Then we have FBA, which is we say, all right, well, Trevor and I are going to go ship all of our products to Amazon, and they're actually going to fulfill it. So someone places an order, Amazon's going to go into the warehouse and ship it out. That's FBA, and that's really what we're going to be fulfilled by Amazon, and that's really where there are reimbursement opportunities. So just kind of backing into it, obviously Amazon, billions of sales, millions of FBA sellers, they're bound to make mistakes. You know, we typically see 1-3% of orders or merchandise is actually mishandled by Amazon. The most common cases you're going to see are inbound shipments are mishandled, a product is damaged or a product is lost. So I can kind of dig into a little bit more. But an inbound shipment, I would say, is going back to Trevor and I's wine glass example, we ship 100 wine glasses to Amazon and they're going to say, we only received 97. So when we actually sent merchandise to Amazon, there was a discrepancy between how much we said we shipped and how much Amazon received. The second would be damage. So someone is careless in the warehouse and drops our wine glasses and they shatter everywhere. So those are damaged merchandise. And then the last one is lost. Really, that can happen in two main ways. It can be we ship product to a warehouse and it just gets mishandled with all the other merchandise that's sitting in there. The other way it can happen would be transfers between warehouses. So let's say Trevor and I ship our wine glasses to Amazon. What they're going to do is based on demand, they're going to maybe take some of that merchandise and actually ship it to a different distribution center to make sure that they can fulfill their prime obligation, where someone in a different location actually orders it. Amazon wants those products to be close to them. So when our product is moving in transit, it could get lost while we're shipping it out, or Amazon's taking it from warehouse A to warehouse B. It could get lost in that as well. So really, those are the three main cases. And reimbursements is basically, as a seller, you're saying, hey, this merchandise has been mishandled. It's no longer sellable. And I want to be reimbursed by Amazon for these. So that's kind of generally what a Amazon reimbursement is.
So doesn't Amazon reimburse some of those anyway?
It does. Some of those will get automatically reimbursed. But as you can imagine, like, Amazon doesn't make it necessarily easy and they don't automatically reimburse you for everyone. So I would say is if you aren't initially reimbursed by Amazon, you actually as a merchant have to go file a case with Amazon to actually get refunded for that money. And we really do that by pulling a bunch of data every day from Amazon, essentially truing up the math on what Amazon say they have and what we think there should be. And then based on that, we identify certain case types. So yes, some cases are automatically reimbursed, but some of them, or kind of what's left over, is really what's an opportunity for a merchant to go after to get reimbursed by Amazon.
So given that Amazon takes so much money, then it's a very good idea for sellers to make cost savings where they can?
Yeah, no question. I would say anywhere from, like, call it 1-3% of your annual sales should be reimbursed by Amazon, or there's potential opportunity. And the other really good part about reimbursements is what you're actually reimbursed for is the sale price, not cost of goods. So one nice aspect of Amazon is they don't actually see how much your cost of goods is. So let's say you're selling something for $30 and you file a case, you're actually reimbursed for that $30, not for, cost of goods. Let's say it was 10 or something like that.
So are there particular types of good that have more problems, products that have more problems than others?
So I would say there's two main factors that would go into how much is recoverable. Probably the easiest would be your revenue. if you're selling $50,000 versus a year versus 50 million, they're obviously 50 million going to be way more recoverable. But the second would be SKU type, would probably be the biggest one. So if you're in a high SKU count space where you might have 1,000 different SKUs on Amazon throughout your various listings, it's just frankly more complex for Amazon to actually, you know, logistically manage that. So I think the higher SKU count is going to be pretty highly correlated with your reimbursements, is what we've seen. So any space where you have tons of SKUs is more likely to have higher reimbursements is probably the biggest thing we've seen.
Okay, so if you're the kind of company that has a lot of SKUs in small volumes, then it's probably a bigger problem?
A lot of SKUs, small volumes. Well, I'd say big volume is probably a bigger one, but if you have a higher SKU, like the higher SKU count up you go, is there should be more opportunities. But yes.
So what can merchants do to minimize? I mean, I'm not talking about the reimbursement bit here, but I'm talking about, you know, what can they do to make sure that things get booked in properly into the Amazon warehouse?
I don't know. Probably try to pack it nicely, but I know there's restrictions on how you pack it. I don't actually have a great answer as far as like what people have actually done to successfully reduce their reimbursements. I can ask the team and see if I can circle back after, but
yeah,
I don't
probably
have
all the obvious things like put the labels on properly, et cetera.
Yeah. I mean, I think like the tough part about Amazon is you're very much in their ecosystem where, you're certainly playing by their rules. You know, merchants don't get to make their own rules with Amazon. So I don't have a great recommendation. Obviously, if stuff needs to be properly packed, you know, kind of based on the guidance you're provided by Amazon. So if you like falsely pack something would be a big problem. But I think really advising by the Amazon terms of service and what they expect as far as items going in. But I don't know if there's a great way to say, hey, like if I made these few changes, my reimbursements went way down.
I mean, just from a kind of personal point of view, I think that it's important to have a process whereby you check the products as you know, when you have a good process for packaging your FBA consignments.
So no question.
Put the right things in, because at the end of the day, it's kind of your word against Amazon's word.
No question.
And you know, it's best to have a, you know, particularly as you say, if you've got a big SKU count, to have a process for packing your boxes. Amazon expects you to, you know, do the, you know, say exactly what's in the box and put the box label on, and anything you can do to do that is going to reduce it.
Yeah, I guess to your point, probably a better answer would be like, you know, better documentation you have internally as far as what's actually going out is probably better than just throwing stuff in a box and writing it on a piece of paper. So I'd say the better documentation you have internally will probably give you a better chance of winning. But that doesn't necessarily mean, even if you do everything right, Amazon, just at their scale, like something's going to go wrong. So I think that's kind of
my experience is that Amazon to consumers seems like it's very efficient, but you know, I just, you know, all kinds of weird things happen. I mean, just the system doesn't really work as well as you really expect it to. So I had this FBA, a whole lot of stuff into FBA once, and I got everything back, just everything back, right? And the account was completely empty, but then more stock started to appear in the account. Just randomly. And they were like, I had this thing called a Freddy the Firefly, and 100 of them turned up. And I'm sure I never sent 100 over. So they just seemed to kind of randomly assign stock to this account. I don't know. I don't know what they did. I'm just saying that my experience with Amazon is their system is so complicated that they don't know how it works. And it probably works an awful lot less. It probably works an awful lot less better than people, less well than people think.
Yeah, I think on the, how would I say this, as a consumer facing person, you know, buying on their site, like it's very easy, everything works pretty much well. I'm sure behind the scenes, it is, although organized, way more chaotic than we probably realize. And also just at the scale they're growing, it's like unbelievable that I'm sure.
Like a swan with the feet doing, I think a beautiful swan on top.
And I would say like, I'm sure the processes they had internally 3 years ago are probably totally different than they are today, just because they've had to keep ramping up sales and, you know, scale to actually fulfill, you know, this type of order volume they get.
Yeah. So, what is the process of claiming the money back?
Yes. So if you work with, a provider or you do it with someone like us, essentially,
let's talk about the manual process first. So if you're going to do it manually, what would you do? And then tell us how you can help.
Yeah, no. So I would just say, broadly speaking, what you would have to do, whether you work with a provider or you do it in yourself, you'd really have to like obtain the data from Amazon. And like the way we do it, which would be, I think, applicable to anyone who's doing it internally, is we're pulling data every night from Amazon. We pull it from individual Seller Central accounts. It gets pulled into our system. And then based on that, we actually then like identify certain case types based on the reports that we're pulling every day and kind of looking for discrepancies. So really, if you were going to try to do this internally, which, you know, is certainly a possibility, plenty of people do, you'd really have to weigh to tap into the Amazon system, obtain the data, and then have a way to kind of manage the caseloads, if you will.
There are two things, because there's two things to do, isn't there? Because one is this kind of damage stuff and the kind of stock discrepancies and kind of reconciling the stock that you, that Amazon said they have at one point against the stock they had at some point in the future.
Yeah.
Which I think you do, you know, need to download this data for. But isn't there also when you do, when you send in a delivery and they say, okay, we think we sent 100 and they say we only got 97 and you have to submit documents for that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you'd have to be, so I would say there's really probably maybe three steps would be the good way to think about it. It would be like pull data from Amazon, based on that data, identify certain case types. And then third would be actually filing the cases. Some of the cases are very, very straightforward where it's just a couple clicks of a button and you submit the case with Amazon. And then as the kind of dollar amount or complexity of the case goes up, you might have to submit bill of lading, packing slips, you know, additional information. A lot of that will probably live in your Seller Central account, but not all the time. So I would really, I guess, kind of think of it three-step processes. Number one, obtain the data from Amazon. Number two, identify case types. And then three, submit those cases, which can be as simple as clicking a few buttons and copying, pasting some, you know, order information, or it could be more complex as submitting actual documentation to Amazon and then really following up just to make sure you're actually reimbursed, because sometimes you might submit documentation to Amazon and they're looking for additional information to successfully protest. Or
how far back can you claim money?
It depends on the case type, but I would say generally speaking, 18 months is a good rule of thumb. Some of the cases expire sooner than that, but I would say 18 months is a good rule of thumb.
Okay. Because I think that, I mean, when it's, because I think, is it 6 months for the, it's 6 months for the, you know, discrepancy, delivery discrepancies, I think.
I don't remember off the top of my head. I'd have to ask operations, but I think depending on the case type, it can be longer versus, you know, some of them you can go back a little bit further for sure.
Okay. So now obviously you have a system which automates these things. How's this your, and I can see the benefits of that because in my experience, it's a real pain doing this stuff.
Right? Yeah. I guess what I would kind of back up and say is that this is, if you're selling on FBA, this is definitely something everyone should have in place. If you work with us, do it yourself, work with someone else, you know, all of those are, I would say, good options. I would say not doing anything is probably not a good option just because Amazon is going to mishandle 1-3%. So there's a certain percentage of that that is going to get mishandled and you might as well take advantage. Selling on Amazon's hard enough. You might as well pick up free money if they're giving it to you. Again, all those options are good choices to get reimbursed. How it would work with us or probably similar players in the space is what we would do is, number one is connect to your Seller Central account. We would get limited permissions and essentially connect our system to your Seller Central. And what we would do is every night we're going to pull those reports I was talking about from Amazon. We would digest all that data. And then based on that, we would identify certain case types, whether it be inbound shipment, loss, damage, whatever it may be. And then our team is going to see it in their queue. Some of those cases we can submit without actually having to work with the team. There are going to be case types where if they're more complex or we need additional information, we might log into your Seller Central and pull it. If it's not in Seller Central, we would then reach out to a designated point of contact and then submit all that information to Amazon on your behalf. Some of the claims get approved, cases very, very quickly, like kind of within 24 hours. Others, it can be a little bit longer going back and forth. And then our team is going to follow up until the case is resolved. And then once it's approved, essentially the money hits your Seller Central account. And then for us, you would just be kind of invoiced once a month, which would be similar to how many folks in the space would work. But yeah, essentially we connect to your Seller Central account. We see cases, we fight them until we get your money back.
So is it like a, because this strikes me as another case. I mean, Amazon's bureaucracy seems to be just overwhelming these days. They must have warehouses full of people who manage this stuff.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm sure I'm sure a lot of the cases are probably just, you know, frankly, automatically approved if it's a lower dollar amount. And then if it's higher up dollar amount, there's probably a human actually taking a look at it. So I'm sure, yeah, it's, it can be bureaucratic. Obviously at Amazon, it's a huge company and it's growing every day. So yeah, like we're dealing with all, you know, submitting it. I'm sure some are just automatically approved, and then others it's a lot more thorough investigation or actually what we need to submit to get them approved.
So how do you charge for your service?
We typically just take a contingency fee. So it's, you know, whatever it is, you know, our standard pricing is 18%. But you know, that can vary as volume goes up. But essentially, hey, we find, you know, $100, we would charge you $18, you know, once a month typically.
That's for most people that's just money that they wouldn't have got otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. I would say it's free found money. I would say some brands, you know, who are really large and sophisticated, were saying like, hey, I can do this myself for most of these cases because I have a team that's pretty sophisticated. We've built it out. And then I might use a provider as like kind of a second sweep. So any low hanging fruit that, you know, their team didn't pick up or was going to take more work, they might say, hey, I'm going to have another team kind of go in and clean up anything that we missed. So I would say, yeah, it's great to have a process in place. Again, there's plenty of good ways to do it, but I think not doing anything is kind of silly just because you're leaving money.
Because I found with these things that, I mean, some companies, once you get to a certain size, you know, you have an accounting team and you've got like a, you know, a team that does this reconciliation.
Yeah.
And would know what they're doing. But I mean, the kind of size company that I ran, we just didn't have anyone to do that.
When you look at Amazon, you know, sellers, you know, frankly, like there's some doing, you know, 8 figures a year, 9 figures a year, I'm sure. But like the bulk of sellers on Amazon are kind of small businesses that are doing, you know, 100,000, you know, probably even less, but, you know, less than $1 million a year. So having someone log in every day and kind of randomly click buttons and then do the headache of going back and forth with Amazon, it's like, it's just easier if I, you know, have someone do this, so I don't have to worry about it.
I'd thoroughly recommend doing this to people. I mean, it's a no brainer. And I think doing it yourself is, you do it once, but doing it every week is a real pain.
It's a pain.
It's hard to get around to doing it. And it's no one's idea of fun.
Yeah. And I would say, presumably,
you think it's lots of fun.
I think it's tough. But what I will say is we submit all cases, and some of them are obviously huge inbound shipment where there's a lot of money. But I mean, at times we're submitting $7 cases. You know, this is someone bought a $7, you know, a box of pens, and we're submitting a case for $7. So like, I think, you know, really, if you were going to work with it, it's like we spend all of our time thinking about how to make this easy, quick, fast for customers is kind of how I would think about it. And again, it's possible to do it internally, but like, man, submitting a $7 case is kind of a pain in the neck, if you will.
Yeah. So, well, when you're not thinking about Amazon reimbursements, what inspires you? What have you been up to? What things can you recommend for us?
Well, I'd say I'm a big golfer, so for sure, I spend a lot of time golfing. I live in Florida, so that's great. I've also really kind of got the fitness bug recently, so I've been trying to work out a lot more. And I would say, like, one thing that has inspired me is I've weirdly become into these CrossFit documentaries where I'm like really just impressed with people who can have so much dedication to, you know, doing these pull-ups and stuff like
really?
That.
Gosh, yeah, no, I've seen that. They lifting extremely heavy weights.
Extremely heavy weights, like pushing themselves to the limit. I found it kind of inspiring because you're like, wow, these people are literally dedicating their social life, like what they eat, their time, like all day to do this, you know, like kind of crazy sport. I'm like, wow, that's like, I'm impressed. I aspire to have that type of dedication and focus towards just kind of one goal.
Like, I mean, I don't know. Look, I mean, I think being fit to a certain extent is a good idea, right? And being healthy is a good idea. But my experience with being fit like that, it's an awful lot of effort to achieve it, and it just goes almost immediately.
Oh, I would say the diminishing returns probably go quickly down. Like there's probably a difference between just being in shape. You know, I can move, I'm healthy versus like I work out 6 hours a day. I'm sure the benefit to you actually goes down, and it probably is actually maybe even worse just because you're putting so much strain on your body. But I'm more just impressed, like, holy, that's a lot of dedication and effort towards one thing in their life.
Yeah, to be that focused. Anyone that does anything to kind of the exclusion of everything else is impressive in some ways. And you think,
yeah, I don't think I would want to do that, but I'm watching them. I'm like, holy cow, that is, it's impressive to like, you know, I'm not going to go have drinks with friends. I'm not going to go on vacation. I'm this focused to achieving that goal. I don't know if it's healthy, but I'm impressed. I'll put it that way. And okay. I guess, you know, I'm like, I don't need to be like that, but even a little bit less or a lot less, I would be very happy.
I don't know. I look at these people who do, because I'm into climbing, and I see these people who do free soloing, and I just think, you know, I wouldn't do it myself, but it's just fucking hell.
That's in the Alex Honnold documentary was awesome, and I remember seeing it in IMAX and just having my palms were sweating because I was so nervous.
He's a lunatic. I mean, he pretends that he suggests he's a lunatic.
Oh, I watched that. I go, this is craziness.
He's a lunatic. He's a kind of a softly spoken lunatic. He almost convinces you that it's sensible what he does, but he's just nevertheless, it's so dangerous.
Yeah, the crazy part is, even if you don't, you know, like you're getting up. What if you get up halfway and you're like, I don't think I can do this anymore. Like it's just crazy.
The thing is that the kind of thing that you're going to remember, that's all he does. It does all day, every day is what he does climbing, right? So he's amazingly experienced and amazingly strong. And the other thing is to do that, right, you would need to be, you wouldn't get anywhere unless you were really relaxed. Because if I was to do it, right, without a rope, I could probably, you know, climb a, you know, 2-3-story building. Probably not, you know, just the height of that. Probably without much trouble, but if I didn't have a rope, I'd be hanging on so tight that my arms would get that much more tired.
Oh yeah.
And if you look at him, he's so relaxed. He's just like in the zone. He's kind of pat, 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 and that you've just got to be not afraid, because if you're afraid, you wouldn't be able to do it.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm afraid just watching. Like my palms are literally sweating. They're sweaty talking about this because I'm literally watching this. I said this guy is hundreds of feet up and just crawling with just relentless. I'm just, holy cow. I was like, I've done indoor climbing a few times and found it a lot of fun. I think the idea of doing a solo climb, no matter how experienced, seems crazy to me, but I know people do it. Just, I don't know if my cup of tea.
Well, thanks very much for sharing your insights into Amazon reimbursements.
Awesome. Thanks,
Trevor.
Where
can people find you online?
Yeah, you can go to revup.technology or revenuerecovery.app. You know, both of those places you can find information. You could also just email me at will@revup.technology, and I'm happy to you know, go over a little bit more about the service. Also, we'll do a free audit. So if you said, hey, I want to see if anything is in my account, potential savings, you can send me an email. I'll send you instructions. We would essentially get limited permissions, connect to your account, and see what's available for savings. And you could have us go try to get it back, or you can, you know, do it yourself. But it's a free audit, which would give you an idea of actually what's sitting there potentially to be recovered.
Great. Okay. Well, thanks so much. Cheerio.
Awesome. Thanks, Trevor. Great being here.
Bye.